I just love it. I just wonderful, wonderful song and wonderful truths in that song. Amen? And what a beautiful, what have I to offer? What have I to offer? Isn't that wonderful? That is a good question we need to ask ourselves. And it ties beautifully into this message this morning. So let's begin first with prayer and then the word. Holy God, we thank you so much for your word, for your promise, your word. You give your word, and you gave the living word, your son, who become flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. And what a gift. Wonderful. God, we pray your blessing this morning and anoint this earthen vessel to properly portray, properly share, convey this message that you have put upon my heart. May it ring true, because it is so true, like Christmas. Nothing sweeter, nothing more true than Christmas. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Christmas, and have you ever, of course you have, everybody's been involved with a gift exchange. Some are demanded gift exchanges. Sometimes you work somewhere and they go, all right, this is it, and this is how much you'll spend, and this is who you'll get a gift for. Hey, Darren. And Darren frets about it every year because they've got some, they're not rules, but they're rules about gift exchanges, you know, and it's fun, and that's fine, and we do it. And but I mean, I don't think that was God's intent when he wanted us to exchange gifts, that they wouldn't be required. They'd be a blessing. They'd be a desired thing. It would be response, a love gift, if you will. And the first instance of gift giving at Christmas happened in the Bible. At Christmas, the first instance of an exchange of gifts. And it was before the wise men. I know we always go there. Well, the wise men, they brought gifts. We know that. And actually, they did, but history tells us that they probably did not arrive on the scene at the birth of our Lord. And most theologians, historians will suggest, after some study, that it was at least a year after. They were late because they didn't ask for directions. And if they were wise women, they would have got there on time. We know that. No, they were right on time. That was God's plan, and that's good too. But the first gift exchange happened between the only two individuals who attended this meeting. One came ready to give and was loaded down with presents. The other was caught off guard and had to make do with what she had. What have I to offer? She even asked that of herself. As we read this passage, look for gifts that God and Mary gave that first Christmas. It's a gift exchange. So we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. If you have your Bibles, and there's scripture right behind me, I say that in faith, believing. John's been so on that. So there you go. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, Christ's birth announced to Mary. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her,
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So, what did God give? Well, first of all, he sent a messenger. Thank goodness for the messenger. How will they hear if someone is not sent? And how will they hear unless someone speaks these truths? And so God sent a messenger, Gabriel. Gabriel's not here this morning. Well, the angel Gabriel's not here this morning, but young Gabriel, I like to always call him the angel Gabriel. He's a mighty man of God, a mighty angel, a fiery angel, young Gabriel. So God sent a messenger. This was not a cute, cuddly, chubby little angel cherub. This was not a Clarence kind of character like it in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. This was Gabriel, a mighty messenger sent straight from the throne of God. Can you imagine? From the presence of God to standing in front of this young teenage lady who is absolutely befuddled by this moment. What is an angel? An angel. They're such a great mystery. They are a mystery to us, and that's fine. Mysteries are good. And the Bible gives us only a glimpse of angels now and then. This much we do know and can say for certain. Angels are messengers. In fact, the word angel means messenger. And they are a messenger specifically from God, arriving directly from God's presence. And you know, I wonder if Mary was a young girl today, she might not have even noticed Gabriel standing there. For all the busyness, all the noise, all the strange folks that can cross our paths, an angel might not seem all that out of place. So busy, so noisy a world, maybe she wouldn't have even noticed. And would we notice? Would we recognize an angel? I don't know. But I do know that sometimes God sends his gifts to us in some pretty unusual packages. And if we're not paying attention, if we're not attentive, if we're not looking, if we're not listening, we can miss them. That's why Paul wrote, Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by some have entertained angels without knowing it. Entertaining angels unawares, as the King James puts it. I love that. Entertaining angels unawares. That could be a song in itself. But it happens. We don't know. He gave her quite a scare. We know that. Every time angels show up, people are frightened. That's just how it goes. Because they're angels. Wouldn't you love to meet one? I mean, really, meet one. In verse 28, 29, and 30, it tells about that. And the Bible says, Mary was greatly troubled. I think this is an understatement. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid. And this seems to be very common every time angels come along. Do not be afraid. Sometimes God's intervention in our lives can be unsettling, disturbing, even frightening. When God is bringing us through something, it's sometimes very hard. When God is teaching us or bringing a message into our lives, causing change, it can be difficult. It can be unsettling, even disturbing. And that's why angels seem to always begin their conversation with humans by saying, Fear not. Don't be afraid. Trust God. I think it's sort of basic training for angels, in fact. God says to them, Now look, when you come in front of this person, make sure you don't scare them to death. That would be bad. Let's start there. Don't even scare them so bad that their knees are knocking and their teeth are chattering and they can't hear a word you're saying. But start, please, with fear not. Do not be afraid. So God sent a messenger and gave a message, obviously. That's what messengers do. That's their whole job description. God gave Mary a message. It was the word of God. It was God's word. Look at verse 30 through 34 with me. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, I tell you what, that is God's word. In fact, this little portion of Scripture is saturated with prophecy. There is fulfilled prophecy being spoken of yet again right here. It has been said of old, and now here it is said again to bring it to focus. Remember, don't forget what has been said before. It still holds true. In fact, here we are. Here we are. It's about to happen. This is the moment that all of creation has been looking forward to. And this is the moment that all creation will look back to. This is the moment when prophecy shall be fulfilled. Some 80 prophecies were fulfilled in the life, in the birth, the life, the death, resurrection of Jesus. Amazing things. Amazing. Accurate. Unexplainable outside of Scripture. Unexplainable outside of God, the God with whom nothing is impossible. The message, God is giving his word. But he's giving the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? And what is the word of God? Well, we know in John 1, in the beginning, I love that John starts, let's start here, he's saying, let's start here with this wonderful truth, this eternal absolute. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was in fact God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Do you hear Christmas in that? I hear Christmas in that. Do you hear the prophecies? Behold, unto you a child is born, and the people who dwell in darkness shall see a great light. The light, behold, the light of the world. This is Jesus. This is wonderful. John is saying, look back and look forward and look here. This is Jesus. It's wonderful. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That is scriptures too. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, we always love to tie these two portions of scripture together. We jump from verse 5 to 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Emmanuel. That's our Lord Jesus. That's God with us. That's that precious baby. That is our Lord who hung on the cross at Calvary. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God sent a messenger. God gave a message. And the message was the word of God and God's word. And literally, God was giving us the word, Jesus. God gave Mary a mystery. God was going to supernaturally squeeze his awesome greatness, his eternal glory, into human flesh, into a baby of all things. Who comes up with such an idea? God. I mean, while you're saying, why are we here? What happens at the end? Is there life after? What's my purpose? Is there purpose? How did this all come to be? Another great mystery. How does the God of eternity, the creator of everything, the one that said, let there be, and there was, become a baby? And then he invites a human being to help with this, to be involved with this miracle. God was going to supernaturally become the Son of Man. And Mary asked, how is this going to happen? Mary asked God a question that people should ask. I mean, this is a good question. This is a wonderful mystery. How can this be? She wanted to know, whose idea is this? Where's this coming from? And exactly how is it going to happen? She was trying to make sense out of something that made no sense to her at all. And that's where we in today's society get into a lot of trouble ourselves. We constantly attempt to understand God, to know the unknowable, if you will, to understand the incomprehensible. We constantly attempt to fit God into our understanding. How can eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-being God fit into our minute understanding? I mean, we only, according to science, and I don't know how they know these things, but they must have used that 10% of the brain they say that we use to discover that we only use 10% of our brain. Some of us only, women would agree, the men only use 7% of that, maybe. I don't know. No, it's not true. We're not pretty sharp. Come on, admit it, guys. We're all right with it. But, I mean, if we are operating in such a, I mean, I think maybe in our perfection back in at the time of Eden, I think they were fully aware, fully intelligent, and used all of their faculties. And there is a diminishing of that for whatever reason God chose. But even Adam and Eve in the understanding God gave them couldn't fully understand God. We cannot fully know God in this estate. But it does tell us in Scripture that we will see Him and we will know Him and we will understand. That day will come. But God gave Mary a message and a mystery. And then God gave Mary, is this still on? Yeah. A miracle. A miracle. In verses 35 through 37, we read God's response to Mary's reasoning. How will this be since I am a virgin, she asked. Yes, Gabriel told her, the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit who will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. There's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. We close that Trinity right there. For nothing is impossible with God. Amen. This entire passage can be boiled down to this simple thought, if you will. God became flesh. Awesome, mighty God became a little baby. The gigantic power that created the planets and flung the stars into place emptied itself into a tiny, fragile infant. How did that happen? Well, I can tell you. With absolute certainty, I have no idea. Mary didn't know. Gabriel really didn't know. Because you can't know such things. Scripture says, it is too wonderful for me to know. Isn't that wonderful? It is okay. It is okay to say it is too wonderful for me to know. For me to fully understand the mind of God is beyond me. It's too wonderful. But I appreciate that Gabriel reminds Mary and all of us, nothing is impossible with God. For that first Christmas, God sent Mary an angel, a messenger. God gave Mary a message, God gave Mary a mystery, and God gave Mary a miracle. And every Christmas morning from then to now, God gives us that same perfect gift. He offers it to each and every one of us. The glorious message from God was proclaimed to Mary by an angel. It was not commanded. You must, you will. It was a gift that Mary happily, even without understanding, happily accepted. Really, God gave Mary Joseph. But you do recall that I said this was a gift exchange. And the angel came with great gifts, a message, a miracle, a mystery. But what did Mary give God? She gave what every one of us can offer God. It's a perfect gift for the one who has everything. God has everything. We cannot add anything to God. If you were to go shopping for God, good luck. You could hit every store and you could spend all the money in the world and you would not get the gift God wants. Because what God really wants is what Mary gave him. She simply gave God the only thing that she had to give. She was not prepared for this exchange, but she already had the gift to give. Mary gave God herself. In verse 38, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She surrendered herself. She just said, "Let it be, Lord, as you have said. I am your servant. Behold, your handmaid," it says in another version. She had no argument, no resistance, no complaining, no whining, no "I have a better idea," no "why me," no excuses, no, "this is really bad timing. I don't feel comfortable with this." No postponements, no refusals, just absolute surrender. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." What better gift could a person give at Christmas? It's really all God wants. Isn't that wonderful? Every year we knock ourselves out trying to find the perfect gifts to give, and we call that Christmas. But it's not. We know it's not. It's not really Christmas at all. Christmas is when you, like Mary, give yourself into the hands of God, trusting Him, surrendering to Him, doing so with no excuses, no postponements, and no arguments. You just give yourself to God. That's the way Christmas is. Christmas is a time for giving. That's why we feel that way. Giving ourselves to God as today draws to a close. There's going to be time. Busy time. There's going to be hectic time. There's going to be a family full house. It's going to be a crazy. I know there's folks have already said that. Oh, it's a busy household back home right now. Or you're going to go to busy houses. In Saskatchewan, everybody just gets into one house and just has a party. That would be weird. But you can see them coming for hours. Oh, looks like Andrew and Lisa are coming. They just left the border. No, that would be weird. But that's the way it is. It's going to be busy. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be good. And there will even be some quarreling and some awkwardness and some, you know, tongue biting. But let me ask you this. Will you do this one thing, today or tonight or even tomorrow? Draw aside. Be still. Stop it. Get away from the busyness. Find a quiet place. Just you and your Father. And have a little gift exchange. Yeah? Isn't that nice? Just to be alone with God. And there, share the gift of yourself with Him. And so you and I will say along with Mary, "Lord, I surrender to you. I give myself fully to you. Behold your servant. I am yours. Let it be to me according to your word." Remember to give back to God. Amen. Amen.